Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Unpack in revival so that we can get a better understanding of what revival is, so that we can get a better understanding of it's not just an event, it's a process. We're all under the process of being revived. And hopefully you're going to understand that as we lay the foundation. For a couple of weeks before this, we did talk about sonship. And if you have not heard the messages, please jump onto the website and listen to the messages about sonship versus orphaned mindset. Why? Because this is the foundation that we are laying as we start moving into what God is bringing within our community, within our schools, within our businesses, and within the church. God, I truly do believe that God is preparing us for something significant, not only Newmark East, but the church. And folks, the church that slumbers will be left behind. I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm talking about you and me. We are the church. The church that slumbers, the church that gets caught sleeping, the church that gets caught procrastinating, unfortunately, will be left behind. Because when God comes, He comes like a mighty rushing wind. Quick. Yes? Everybody's gone a bit quiet on me. Pastor Joe was here a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke about we have a Father. Really great message. Again, I did not say a word to him about what was happening at Newmark East, but he comes and he's in alignment with what God is busy doing at Newmark East. So, this week, I want to start unpacking because the whole word of revival, because we don't really understand what revival is. I also want to talk about, in the weeks coming, what it means to have a lifestyle of revival. And then also how we go about, how we change history and go about sustaining revival. Revival is not meant to be a one-off thing. Revival is not meant to be a one-off thing. Revival is something that God wants to continuously do. Holy Spirit wants to continuously do. And throughout the Bible, we see there's instances where God's people have fallen away from Him, wandered off, been distracted, preoccupied, lose their first love. We've seen this, but what happens is this is followed by repentance, which is then followed by times of their hearts being rekindled and people start to pursue holiness. A thing that the church also lacks of late is the fear of God. The fear of God has gone out of the window. There is no more a fear of God. We think God is our mate. He's our friend. Jesus is our friend, but He's not our mate. We are flippant when we think those things. Our reading today comes from one verse. I'm going to use just one verse. And this is the scripture which is also the Newmark Revival scripture, and that is Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Now, the context of this scripture is this. The sons of Korah come to a point where they ask God to come and revive them as their nation had become spiritually impotent. Spiritually impotent. Impotent means to be without strength. They had come to a place where they were spiritually without strength. Sounds very familiar to the church today. We wonder why signs and wonders happen in the dark places of Africa, where signs and wonders happen on the most remote islands. Anybody thought these things? And we ask the question, why do those signs and wonders not happen within our society, within Australia, within in South Africa, within the Europe, within the USA? It's because the church is spiritually impotent. They are without strength. Not because they do not have the strength, because the Bible says to us that when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. But it's because of our choices and our lifestyle. What they needed and what they wanted was to come alive to God again. What stood out for me as I pondered the scripture is that they realized they couldn't do this in their own strength. In other words, their reliance was on God and only on God to make them come alive to who? To God again. So they come to God and say, God, revive us again. Make us alive again to you. Will you not revive us again? For them to say to be revived again shows me that they knew what it was to be alive before. Revive us again. He'd done it before. They had known what it meant to be alive again. And you know what, church? This has become the cry of the church, capital D, capital C, across the globe of late, but it is also evident in the history that has passed. And I just want to share two quick revivals with you. The one was the Welsh Revival, which happened in 1904 to 1906. It was in Wales. Spiritual awakening broke out. Evan Roberts was the man who was immersed in the Bible, in the study of the Bible. He was only 26 years old when revival broke out. He had been praying every day for 13 years, every single day. And Roberts was not a brilliant preacher. He was not a brilliant speaker. His audiences were captivated by the words. And this is what they said, and I'm quoting, "What is the secret of the spell he wields over the audience? Is it learning or eloquence? Nothing of the kind," they answer. "The secret of his power is that he is full of faith and love and zeal and the Holy Spirit." Let me say that again. He is full of faith and love and zeal and the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of things that we can become full of. Can close our books, go home, and if we can study that, if we can come to the place now where we can say that that is where we are to grow in our faith or in our love or in our zeal or in the Holy Spirit, then maybe something will happen. But you see, within 6 months, it is estimated that over 100,000 people were converted. Communities were renewed. Not just individuals, communities were renewed. Drunkards, thieves and gamblers were transformed. Miners used to pray before they went into the mines. Football and rugby teams were converted. Pubs were empty. Dance halls were deserted. The crime so diminished in the Welsh revival that judges were presented with white gloves. This has happened. Why were they presented with white gloves? This signified that there were no cases of murder, assault, robbery, or rape. Can it happen again? Campbell Morgan, in 1904, closed his sermon with this. He says, "We cannot produce revival. We can only pray that God will be gracious to us and send it in abundance." We cannot produce revival, folks. We cannot flick the switch on and have revival and then flick the switch off. We cannot just have revival here on a Sunday and then walk out the doors. When revival happens, it comes from a place of prayer. Prayer is a prerequisite of revival. Argentinian revival. A number of revivals have happened there. There's actually revival happening right at this moment. But the one that I want to talk about is in 1954, there were 200,000 to 300,000 conversions were reported and thousands upon thousands of healings documented. Can you imagine 200,000 to 300,000 conversions in 1954? They did not have social media back then. They did not have speakers and microphones. They did not have these things. This happened because the church became alive and took the gospel into the streets. But listen to this. As powerful and significant as those revivals were, the Argentine church was not prepared for them. The harvest was so large that the numbers harvested overwhelmed the church. With the lack of prepared workers, the new converts were not effectively followed up on, and they were assimilated and were not assimilated into the churches. Despite the mass salvations and healings, after just a few years, the churches in Argentina settled back into a normal maintenance mode. Sad. That's why we stand here on a Sunday and we say, folks, we're a family. We need to all get involved. We need to all be serving. Why? Because we are fixing the net. Because when the revival happens, we need to be prepared so that we can follow these people up, so that we can disciple these people, so that they can go out and be followed up and disciple people. And that is how this kingdom is going to be built. This is sad. Just after a few years, Lord, may it not happen on my watch. May it not happen on our watch. But how did this start? How did this revival happen? Well, Argentina was in a bad place. There were voodoos. There was religions of spiritism. People of all economic groups were involved in occult practices. There was propagation of witchcraft all the way to the top, right to the top. National figures were on television every day testifying to their involvement in these practices. The nation was a culture of extreme sensuality. There was imposing sexual advertising. The fixation on body aesthetics was really high. The economy of the nation was at times hitting 5,000%. And then there was this little church, Pastor Alberto, his congregation of 50 people, who tried every evangelistic method that there possibly was. And after 15 years, his young people, anybody, any young people here, you should all be raising your hands, because even if you're 70, you're young of spirit, yeah? All right. Oh, the young people talked to the pastor about their intense desire, because they were sick and tired of what was happening in the community. And he asked the entire youth group if they would be willing to seek God earnestly and pay the price. Out of 50 people, 6 decided to commit. Only 6, not 60, not 600, 6. For months they prayed, and that is what brought the revival. In 1984, the youth group had grown to 200 in attendance, the church's attendance having grown to 500, and with the goal of 5,000 within 5 years, nobody imagined that in 1 year, that very church would be running not just 5,000, but they would see 20,000 visiting the church each month and thousands more attending other locations. 20,000. Can you imagine, folks, when 20,000 people walk through these doors on a Sunday, what chaos there will be in this place? Are we ready? Because I know we have more than 6 that are praying right at this point in time. I know that our intercessors team is small at the moment. We need more. We need more people praying, because this is my heart's cry. This is Paulina's heart's cry. This is our family. This is our leadership's heart's cry. This is Pastor Corey and Pastor Simone's heart's cry, that we see revival within Melbourne. Who knows, Melbourne needs Jesus. The pastor goes to his church. He says to his church, because of course, some people within the church were having a gripe because they couldn't find their seats, because they couldn't find their parking for their horses. Some of you have sat on the same pews for years. This is the pastor saying to his congregation, quote, unquote, and you are not interested in church growth. Either change or you will lose your seat. Not only will you lose your seat, but your place of ministry in the church. That is a warning to us today. Those of us who are comfortable, some people's reactions was to laugh the warning off, but this is exactly what happened. The new converts that became flooding the church began to demonstrate more maturity and commitment than some believers with 25 years of attendance at church. Lord, do this again. do this again. May this place be a place, a haven where people stream to. Lord, may Numa East, even when we're out there in Joseph Street, may that be a haven that we buy not only the property next door, but the whole block. That there will be a place where people can come and not only receive Jesus, but be discipled, be healed, be sozoed in the name of Jesus. It started with six people praying. This is the hunger I have, church, to experience the presence of God. And this is why we read about this, but we say, that's the old wine. God, that is the old. God is busy doing something new. Jesus said that he would do, that we would do greater things in him. And I want to prophesy today that we are going to see a revival move across this nation, because even Smith Wigglesworth prophesied that the next great awakening, the last great awakening, will happen where? Within Australia. No other country, within Australia. Are you ready, church? Are you ready for this? You see, so I want to spend time now, and I want to just dissect what is revival. Revival is revival and event. I said this last week. No, it is a process. You see, when we think of a revival service, we think that we can attend, that we're going to have longer worship, we're going to have fire-powered messages, we're going to have see signs and wonders. But you know what? That is all going to happen, but that is a result of something bigger. And the big thing that I'm talking about is the encountering of his presence. Longer worship only happens, longer worship, authentic worship only happens when you encounter his presence. The message will be spirit-fired, bringing conviction and changed lives when you encounter his presence. Signs, wonders, and miracles will be natural when you encounter his presence. Revival is all about encountering his presence, and it's a process of becoming alive again. But when you see, it's okay to fall, it's okay to laugh, it's okay to shake. These things are good. I've said this before. But you see, when you get off the floor and you have truly encountered God, your life should never be the same again. You cannot get off the floor after laughing or shaking or whatever and still live the same life. Because then I question then, did you encounter God on the mat? Too many times around the church, capital E, capital C, not our church, but the church, there's so much of that happening, but it's more a show than what it is an encounter. I say not on my watch, because we will have the presence of God here in this place. And this is not judgmental of any other place, but this is what I'm saying on my watch, on our count, as leaders, we want to see when you get off that mat that your life is transformed, that people come to you and say, even your countenance has changed. You see, you cannot go into his presence and leave the same. So what is revival? Let me give you a definition. Revival is an act or instance of reviving, the state of being revived. It's an act or an instance of reviving. Do you know that you are all revivalists? Why? Because you should be in an act of reviving others. Discipling. We'll talk about that later. Where does the word revival come from? Revival comes from the word revive. And revive comes from two Latin words, re, meaning again, and vivere, which means to live. In other words, the word revive means live again. Come again, come alive again. It's like when somebody is caught in a rip in the sea and they are taken out and they are pulled from the surf unresponsive. What does the team, the surf lifesaving, do? They put them on the beach, on the sand, and they administer CPR. Help me, doctors. Yes? Am I right? It's called CPR. What do? They revive the person. That's it. That's it. So who is revival then for? Is revival for the sinner or the church? The church. Right answer. Revival is for the church. You see, salvation is for the sinner.
because salvation is a process of being born again. Revival is for the church. It's an act or instance of being revived. It was where you were once alive, being born again. You've lost your passion. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your love. And then God comes in and He revives you. And you become alive again. You become so passionate. You become so on fire. You become so zealous about the presence of God. You become so zealous about His Word that you spend 24/7, 365, paging through the pages of His Word, that you read even the footnotes, that you are on Google and you're in the dictionaries and you're doing word studies. That is what revival does, folks. One of the many things. Revival is for the church. It's the renewing, it's the restoring and strengthening of something that was once vibrant back to a place of importance, power, confidence, and vitality. That right there is me and you. I am not part of this. I am very much part of this. Definitions of revival from generals and scholars of the faith that have gone before us. Here's J.I. Packer. He was an evangelical theologian. He says, God's quickening visitation of His people, touching their hearts and deepening His work of grace in their lives. Stephen Olford, a Christian leader. Billy Graham called Stephen Olford the man who most influenced my ministry. He said this about revival, the sovereign act of God in which He restores His own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. Oh my word. Take a picture of that. The sovereign act of God in which He restores His own backsliding people to repentance, faith, and obedience. Charles Finney, Presbyterian minister and leader in the Second Great Awakening, in 1792, says this, a revival is the return of the church from her backsliding and the conversion of sinners. There's that word backsliding again. But JJ, I still go to church. Duncan Campbell, Scottish evangelist, said this, a community saturated with God. Yes, Lord. May that be New East. May we be saturated with God, not only on a Sunday, but a Monday to a Sunday, 365, 24/7, every single day of our lives. You see, folks, revival is not a religious buzzword. It's not a religious buzzword. Revival is a powerful and transformative concept. It is a spiritual awakening that sweeps through individuals. It's a spiritual awakening that sweeps through communities, revitalizing faith and devotion. Revival is a time when sleepy Christians wake up, when nominal Christians. What does the word nominal mean? It means existing in name only. Ouch. Say to your neighbor, ouch. That hurt. Say to the other one, did that hurt you? That should hurt us. It's time when sleepy Christians say to your neighbor, are you awake or are you sleeping? If they're asleep, punch them. No, don't punch them. Sorry. Revival is a time when sleepy Christians wake up. Come on, wake up. Wake up, church. When nominal Christians, nominal, existing in name only, convert to Christ passionately in relationship and following His leading. Passionately. May New Maize be a church that is known for presence and passion. Revival involves renewed passion and zeal for our faith in Jesus Christ. Revival entails turning away from worldly pursuits and distractions and turning back to God. This is a biggie. Revival entails turning away from worldly pursuits and distractions and turning back to God. It is a call to repentance, folks. It's a call to humility, a deep desire to seek God's presence, making His presence the priority over everything else. And that is the call on Yuma East, that His presence will be what drives us. His presence will be where we will stop and we will make decisions. His presence first. I love the team. I love what team did here today. I loved in the chat that we're talking about Jesus, making Jesus the center of it all. That's what it's about. Jesus needs to be the center of everything that we do. On a Sunday to a Sunday. Revival is the ordinary operations of the Holy Spirit. Revival refers to spiritual reawakening from a state of dormancy or stagnation in the life of a believer. Last one. Revival encompasses the resurfacing of a love for God, an appreciation of God's holiness, a passion for His Word and His church, a convicting awareness of personal and corporate sin, a spirit of humility, and a desire for repentance and growth in righteousness. Years back, Carlos Anacondia was in South Africa, and he was saying how they were having meetings in stadiums, but how people in the streets were being convicted of their sin, and they would be walking on the sidewalk and they would fall in conviction and repent right there on the sidewalk. And then they would be kilometers and kilometers away from the stadium where this was happening, and the Holy Spirit would bring them to the stadium. Holy Spirit would guide them, story after story after story. I say, Lord, do that again. Do that in Melbourne. I don't think that we came to Melbourne just to come and play happy church. No. As Pastor Raph said, when you leave the Gold Coast and you come to Melbourne, you've got to know it's God. I know it's God not because of the weather. I know it's God because of His presence. And I want to say to us that that is the heart of JJ and Paulina, is that we will continuously go after His presence on a daily basis. Paulina and I are unapologetically going after revival. We're not going after an event. We're going after a process. A process where we, Paulina, myself, my kids, where me and my house can be equipped, where we can be guided, where we can be assisted. Why do we want to be that? So that we can equip you, so that we can guide you, so that we can assist you, so that we can all increase in God, in a consciousness of God. That's a better way of putting it. In a consciousness, in an awareness of His presence. You see, our heart is not just for the corporate. Our heart is for each individual that calls Pneuma East home. Why? So that we are all transformed daily. So that we are all transformed daily into His likeness. Team can start joining me, please. You see, we will not be seeking revival for the glitz. We are seeking revival for the renewal. We are seeking revival for the reformation to take place. We are seeking revival where no agenda has more priority in our daily walk than the priority of His presence. Last week's service, this week's service is the norm. Simone getting up here, me handing her tissues. Why? Because she's been touched. She encountered. She's been reminded of His goodness and His mercy. Last week we had snot patches and tear patches everywhere. Why? Because we were reminded of His goodness. We're reminded of His presence. This is my heart's cry on a daily process for you. My heart's cry is, Father, like Moses, show me and my house Your glory. I'm not just talking about the Mayer house, not just talking about Paulina and Jay and Edward and Elizabeth. Parents, if you're not praying that prayer over your
family and over your house, start praying it. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of our lives. I add on there for generations and generations and generations to come. Parents, you need to start praying that over your family and over your house. But when I say this, when I wrote this down, please show me and my house. I go, my house, Numa East. You are part of the house that we've been entrusted. You are part of the house that we've that are in our hands that we need to steward. And I say, Lord, may we, me and my house, may we encounter your glory every single day of our being. And like the sons of Korah, revive us again. Revive us again, Lord, that your people, the every one of you sitting here, the kids in kids' church, the teenagers, even those kids of yours that are not here in church. Parents, have faith. Have faith. You, when you go after God and his presence is upon you, guess what? They will be drawn to that because they are seeking. It's time for the prodigals to come home. Anybody agree with me? It's time for the prodigals to come home. Those who have gone on walkabout, it's time. Come on, let's give God praise for that one. It's time for the prodigals to come home. So as we close, this is what I want us to do. I want us to evaluate ourselves. Where are you? Where are you in your walk with God? Out of 10, do you need revival? Do you need reviving? You go, oh, I'm not sure. I don't think so, JJ. I think I'm okay. Oh, really? Let me ask these questions. Close your eyes here where you are, please. How real was God in your life this week? Here's another question. How big is God to you? Or is your God small? Do you really sense the presence of the Lord in your life right now? Easy answers, yes, no. I'm not sure. This week, were you more conscious of God or the growing sense of evil around you? It's a good gauge. Do you need revival? Do you need reviving? Do you need to get back to the place of being radically in love, passionately pursuing Him? Do you delight in God? Do you boldly behold Him daily? Folks, we can sit here, we can sing these beautiful songs, we can experience His presence on a Sunday. But it's not about a Sunday, it's about a Monday to a Saturday. In essence, I'm asking you, do you need a revival? Because truth is, the minute you turn your attention away from an intentional relationship with God, it's when your spiritual life begins to decay. Time to evaluate yourself. Out of 10, 10 means you are passionately on fire. 10 means you all those answers were like, yes, 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 that's me. I'm good, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. 5 means I'm not there yet. 4 means, hey, Even a 9 means I need some work. Even an 8 means I need to be revived, because God doesn't want us to be an 8 or a 9. He wants us to be a 10. He wants us to be passionately in love with Him. He is worthy of your life. I want us to sing that song again, please. You're worthy. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all. He is worthy of your life. He is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your time. He is worthy of your finances, your tithes, your offerings, your giving. He is worthy of it all, because He's the one that breathes life into your lungs. He's the one who's released healing. He's the one who has come to a place where He has restored you back to Him. He's worthy. And I'm going to get the team to sing this out over us. And I want you to gauge, where are you out of 10? Evaluate yourself. Right there where you are, before we sing it, before we sing, let's just play. Just there where you are. Just want you to confess. I want you to say to God, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being half-hearted. I'm sorry, Lord God, for not passionately not pursuing You. I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me. I need to be revived. Say that aloud. I need to be revived. Say it louder. I need to be revived. Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord. Shout it. Revive me, Lord. That's it. Shout it again. Revive me, Lord. Woo. Yes, Lord. Revive us. Revive us. Every single person in this place, revive us, Lord. Revive us, Lord. We want to be revived, Lord. Revive the passion. Revive the passion, Lord. Revive the zeal. Revive all Your love, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Revive the love for Your word, Lord God. Revive the love for Your word, Lord. Revive us. Revive us, Lord. Revive us. Lord, we want, we need You. Will You revive us again, so that our joy may be restored? Lord, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We know, Lord God, the joy, revive us again, Lord, so that our joy may be restored. Oh, fire of God, fall upon us right now. Right now, just open your hands. There where you are in a seat, like as if you're receiving. Just right now, I release the fire of God. Come and burn the chaff. 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 Thank You, Lord. Refire. The fire refines us. Refire refines gold. You are gold in His eyes. You are gold. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. Refire, fall upon.
upon us all. On me, Lord, start with me.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.